You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, I spoke to academic Margaret Mutu about the statement the National Party made when ruling out working with Te Pāti Māori. National leader Christopher Luxon implied Māori have a different standard of citizenship to Pākehā and somehow get more votes. Today I spoke to Takatāpui activist, creative and educator Quack Perehi on what the impacts of this racist rhetoric is in the communities they work in, what allies can do, and the next steps from here to push back against this. Here is that kōrero. Luxon said in a statement that Māori have a different standard of citizenship to and get more votes than Pākehā. What have you noticed the implications are of political leaders spreading this kind of misinformation?
I think there are two different types of large implications that I've seen working in different community spaces and working with rangatahi. It drives, for rangatahi Māori who I mostly care about, never mind these Pākehā, but it drives a lot of confusion and almost lateral violence. With rangatahi Māori, on the one hand, are being expected to engage with politics, take part in census, take part in local elections, and have informed decisions on who they're voting on. But then on the other hand, political leaders are spreading misinformation, which further drives that divide, that misinformation. A lot of the rhetoric we've seen come out of the National Party, whether it's about what Māori and Pasifika whānau are doing in their garages in South Auckland, whether it's about whether whānau can afford $5 prescriptions, whether it's about co-governance being anti-Tiriti, or these random new interpretations of Te Tiriti or Waitangi by the ACT Party. It further enables the far right, the racist, the radical right who are organising and attending these co-governance meetings. It justifies their whakaaro, it justifies their presence, and it gives them something to stand on. We've spoken a lot about political representation and having rangatahi represented in Parliament, having Māori represented in Parliament. And whilst we're not seeing the rangatahi whakaaro being represented in Parliament or large queer whakaaro being represented in Parliament, the racists are seeing themselves represented, and I think that's inherently, and anti-Tiriti, I think it's inherently going to impact rangatahi wanting to get involved in politics, wanting to be involved in decision-making that impacts them. So it's enabling the far racist right whilst debilitating and leaving the rangatahi who want to get engaged, just leaving them on the cliff edge, if you will.
You've also talked about the benefits of being on the Māori roll. Is there a link between Māori getting political power through places like the Māori roll and the racist pushback we're seeing from, well, racists and politicians?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you question the very system that has given Pākehā the power to run this country, to make decisions that are not informed by mana whenua, tangata whenua or whānau Māori, when you question that very foundation, then you'll start to see Pākehā become, bewildered, a word, become frustrated. The thought of Māori having the same rights as Pākehā is so frightening to them, because if they were to be treated the same way Māori were to be treated, they wouldn't like how it turned out. So I don't think, although the Māori role was an absolute huge step in the right direction to mobilising whānau Māori, getting engaged in politics, there's still a lot more mahi to do. I think the direct link is Pākehā politicians in particular, or Māori politicians that refuse to acknowledge their whakapapa, kia ora David Seymour. They use these mitigation strategies which governments or government agencies have put in place to engage whānau Māori in politics, and they use them to go off on tangents and justify that far-right racist rhetoric. Oh, that was a triple R. And yeah, I think it drives racist rhetoric. I think it lets the far right see themselves represented in politics. The far right often talk about how they're not the minority and they're the silent majority, and that there's a whole community of them waiting to act or attend these protests organised by far right leaders. And that whakaaro, I think, justifies and gives, not mana, but gives some sort of standing to what they're trying to push, this anti-Māori whakaaro.
You've used your social media platforms to push back against this. Is this something you think more people, especially allies, should be doing?
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between what allies should be doing, whether they should be creating conversations themselves, holding conversations, or whether they're actually just taking up that space and they should be amplifying the content that other Māori creators like myself are already doing out there. I think when it comes down to it, social media is a beautiful tool to engage people in what's happening today. I would much rather see that energy from allies be redirected to turning up to the protests, turning up to council meetings and standing in solidarity. I acknowledge that historically there's been a confusing fine line between what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate for allies to do. And so a very underlying value for that is for allies when turning up to kaupapa has always been open to being corrected and told that you're wrong regardless of how it's been in the past. Because as we gain autonomy as tangata whenua in political spaces, what we're able to do versus what we've sort of expected allies to do on our behalf is constantly changing. And so really living and breathing that, not making it a ego game where you think you're a honorary Māori because you've done X, Y, Z. And to be honest, at the end of the day, like, I'd rather people turn up to community events and help serve our whānau, whether it's at kaupapa like Sunday blessings or helping people do census or, you know, all these different community activations is where the real power is. I don't really care if a Pākehā has or has not reshared what I've posted on Instagram.
Kia ora. So there are also many inequities even within our democracy, some of which co-governance is trying to fix, bring it back to this conversation. But what are the next steps from here?
Yeah, we've seen after following the local elections and the census mahi that's been out this year, we've seen how beautifully Māori and community organisations help to bridge that gap between whānau that aren't engaged in politics and decision-making and whānau that are. Sunday blessings, Manuri o Marae, Te Whānau or Waipareira have done a great job at facilitating that political mobilisation by ensuring our whānau know that by giving their voice, by giving their whakaaro, they're helping tangata whenua be represented in decision-making, whether it is statistics like census or whether it is who is running our local and national government. And so I think the next steps are for political parties, A, to make their information a lot more understandable. I know that it's a hard kaupapa to do when you're trying to live a Pākehā system that requires all these fancy big words and sometimes academic degrees, but making the information understandable to our whānau, but also continuing to host wānanga with our whānau about why their decision-making matters, how voting pertains to one's tino rangatiratanga, maybe some acknowledgement of the fact that the system we have now isn't perfect, but if we vote in the right people, we'll slowly start to see that constitutional reform that so many rangatira like Dr. Waka Moana Jackson dreamed of years ago. And so the next steps are, along with civics education, is supporting campaigns like Make It 16, Caden, like enabling the rangatahi to be engaged in politics and also understand where their voice, where their kōrero is going. It's not a big one solution will fix all the problems. It's supporting as many different initiatives, community, kaupapa, as we can. Like I said before, Manirua Marae Te Whānau, or Waipareira and Sunday Blessings, because in the long term, it's the community organisations and the Māori organisations that are doing the heavy lifting. And I see a lot of collaboration being born out of that. And also a lot of gentleness as well. I envision this movement being one where, for many Māori, it represents being able to determine what happens for themselves and their whānau, determine what benefits are available to those who need help, determine what our teachers are paid, determine what our nurses are paid. So it's a huge kaupapa, and I think one community activation, one program, one non-partisan youth-led event at a time is when we'll start to see that huge radical change that rangatahi need in order to mitigate this climate crisis and what our whānau need in order to stand in their mana motuhake and their tino rangatiratanga.
That was Quack Perehi on rangatahi Māori voting and racism in politics.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.